A handful of demonstrators gather on the bridge over the Cheyenne River. It's a typically windy South Dakota day, but the sun is shining and the group's spirits are high. They hold signs and chant for the benefit of a cadre of journalists who have turned out for this Earth Day event. At a distance, a road crew waits patiently, yellow lights flashing. They've come to fix a guardrail on the bridge that was smashed up in a collision the night before. After being photographed and interviewed, the activists move off the bridge and down the hill to the baseball field just outside the town of Red Shirt. Charmaine Whiteface is one of those rare women who carry a Geiger counter in the trunk of her car.
It's only about 12 micrograms per hour here,
which is
about average for South Dakota, but it's high.
Whiteface, a retired science teacher, takes readings with a counter, and she also collects water for transport to laboratories in Rapid City and Denver. At one time, at the request of the people of Red Shirt, she tested the waters of the Cheyenne River.
You go in a place where it's still water, which means usually the deeper water, and you fill your container up. You put in some little vials of nitric acid as a stabilizer, and then you get it to the laboratory within 72 hours.
Whiteface has battled uranium mining for years, and her activism has taken her to speaking engagements around the country. During these trips, she meets other activists, and some of them traveled to South Dakota to stand with her on Earth Day. One of them is Tarek Koff from Veterans for Peace.
We also recognize that there's something else besides the shooting wars. There's a war on the planet. There's a war on people. There's a war on communities.
There are representatives from Popular Resistance and the New England Peace Pagoda. And there's Jill Stein, a medical doctor and Green Party candidate for president in the 2012 election. Stein spent a couple of days with Whiteface.
We walked around yesterday with a Geiger counter that had, you know, elevated readings practically everywhere we went. So, you know, this begs to have a definitive, high-quality study that's open to public scrutiny.
Collectively, the movement is called Clean Up the Mines, with the primary goal of effectively restoring mined areas to pre-mining conditions. This gathering is the kickoff for a national campaign. Charmaine Whiteface says cleanup, if it's done right, is difficult, expensive, and labor-intensive. On the bright side, she says, it would create jobs. Part of the problem, she says, is that mining is an old industry and laws didn't keep up. As a result, mining laws were weak or non-existent.
The government needs to have a strong bill that when a mining company starts mining, that they need to clean up everything and leave it as it was before they came in.
Whiteface says in most cases the government, which means the taxpayer, is stuck with cleanup of these old mines.
And since the mining happened 50, 60 years ago, a lot of these companies are no longer even in existence, or if it's a private individual, they know it's going to cost way too much for them as a private person to clean it up.
The activists talk about a lawsuit settled earlier this month. The U.S. Justice Department got a commitment of more than $4 billion from Kara McGee to clean up abandoned mines around the country and pay off claims. Justice says this is its largest environmental enforcement recovery ever. Kerr McGee had some mining operations in northwestern South Dakota. Activists say there are more than 100 sites in that area needing cleanup, including the Riley Pass uranium mine in Custer National Forest, which is undergoing restoration with federal and state cooperation. Cleanup is a complex and daunting task. According to literature handed out at the rally, there are more than 10,000 abandoned uranium mines and prospects in western states. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks in the Black Hills.